Our scripture reading for this evening will be taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 26, verses 3 through 7. It is on page 284 in the Bibles provided. 1 Samuel, chapter 26, verses 3 through 7. And Saul encamped in the hill of Hachilah, which is opposite Jeshimon, by the road. But David stayed in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul had indeed come. So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped, and David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay within the camp, with the people encamped all around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abisha, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abisha said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abisha came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head, and Abner and the people lay all around him.
Good evening. Once again, it is very good to have everyone here this evening to worship the heavenly God of heaven. So very thankful for the song service that was led and for the prayer that was led on our behalf. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, this section of scripture that was read is my favorite scripture of all the Bible. I have grown up as a child reading this story, and my grandmother would really, really dynamically tell this story. And every time she would read the story to me or to us as a group, I tell you, I laughed the whole time. And I love this part of the story. And we'll get there shortly, but we're not there just yet. First, I'm going to tell you a story to kind of jumpstart us, and then we'll get where we're going. The story is called Compassion in His Eyes. It was a bitter, cold evening in northern Virginia. The old man's beard became glazed with a winter's frost while he was waiting for a ride across the river. The wait seemed endless, and his body became numb from the frigid winter wind. Suddenly, he heard the thunder of horses' hooves in the distance. Anxiously, he waited as several horsemen approached. He let the first one pass by without an effort to get his attention, and then another passed, and another. Finally, one horseman was left. As he drew near, the man caught the rider's eye and said, "Sir, would you mind giving me a ride to the other side? There seems to be no passage on foot." "Sure, hop aboard," the rider responded. Unable to force the man's half-frozen body onto the horseman dismounted and assisted the old man. It was decided the horseman would take the old man to his destination, which was just a few miles away. As they approached the small but cozy home, the horseman's curiosity caused him to ask, "Sir, I noticed that you allowed several others to pass without an effort to secure a ride. Then, when I drew beside you, you immediately asked me for a ride. I'm curious why, on a bitter winter night, you would wait and ask the last rider. What if I had refused?" The old man gently got down from the horse, looked at the horseman, and replied, "I've been around for a while, son, and I know people pretty well." I looked into the other horseman's eyes and immediately knew there was no concern for my condition. So it was useless to ask them for a ride. But when I looked into your eyes, kindness and compassion were evident. I knew your loving spirit would welcome the opportunity to give me assistance. Those heartwarming comments touched the horseman, and I am most grateful for what you're saying, he replied. May I never get too busy in my own affairs that I fail to respond to the needs of others with kindness and compassion. With that final comment, Thomas Jefferson turned and directed his horse back to the White House. I want to talk to you tonight about kindness. Kindness is something that seems to be slipping away in our society. Kindness should be a core character of every Christian who has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thayer's and Strong's define kindness as goodness, mercy, pity, love, grace, favor, compassion, gentleness, as well as tenderness. While grace, mercy, love, and kindness are interrelated, we're going to basically focus on kindness. In Psalms 145, verse 9, there is a common kindness or a common grace that God extends to all mankind. The Bible says, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion or kindness on all that he has made." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 through 45, the Bible says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous as well as the unrighteous." God also manifested this kindness to us or to the world by found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. In order that in the coming ages he might show incomparable riches of his grace, expressed his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, for it is by grace that you are saved through faith. So we see that kindness is extremely important to the Christian walk. And so as we go forward, turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20. We'll start there with our stories to see how kindness should be a part of the core character of an individual who professes to be a Christian. We're going to look at the life of David and see how kindness shaped his core character, and one of the main reasons why in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, the Bible says God looked for a person, a man after his own heart. David exemplifies Christ. David has within him this severity, but he also has this kindness. And you look at the life of David, you see more kindness than severity. You look at Jesus in his life, you see more kindness versus severity. So as we look at David, 1 Samuel chapter 20, David and Jonathan are making a covenant between each other. Verse 8, "Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for I have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. But if there is guilt in me, kill me yourself, for why shall you bring your father to me?" Then drop down to verse 15. "And do not cut off your steadfast love from my house forever, when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." And Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord take vengeance on David's enemies." And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. David and Jonathan make a covenant that as long as they live, they will not cut off the other's offspring. They will always be kind, gracious to his offspring. That is a covenant bound by both of them. And so both have this desire because, one, they love each other as they love their own soul. Does that remind you of a verse in the Bible? It should. They are expressing kindness the proper way. It reminds me of what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 28. When Saul was told by God, I'm going to cut the kingdom from you and give it to a neighbor that's better than you. He cut the kingdom from Saul. And that cut made Saul also angry. He was jealous of David. David had more fame, more fortune, and he was said to have killed tens of thousands, while Saul only killed thousands. And so you have Saul searching, trying to kill David. But Jonathan, his best friend, is doing his best to keep David alive. Then in chapter 21, verse 6 of 1 Samuel, David goes to Nob and encounters Ahimelech, the priest, who David asked of bread for food. In kindness to David and his men, he gives them the bread which was removed before the Lord. In verse number 6, it says, so the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day that it was taken away. Then in verse 9, Ahimelech is still kind to David. Ahimelech gives David the sword of Goliath because David has no weapon. And David's asking, are there weapons here? Then in verse 9, it says, the priest replied, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one. David said, this one, there is none like it. Give it to me. Isn't this significant? That Ahimelech is aiding and abetting a fugitive from the king. He is giving him kindness, but he's putting his life in peril for the kindness of David and his men. Jesus put his life on the line for us so that we might have kindness given to us. David is the type of Christ found in the Old Testament. In this story, in that chapter, you find a man named Doeg, Edomite. If there ever was a snake in the grass, this man is the snake in the grass. Keep him in mind, because you'll hear about him later on. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 7, now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg the Edomite, the Saul's chief shepherd. Then go to chapter 22, verse 3 through 4. David came to Moab after being at the cave of Adullam. David is still running away from Saul. David inquired of the king of Moab to let his parents stay there for refuge and safety. And the king of Moab showed David kindness by allowing his parents to remain there. See it in verse 3 and verse 4. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God would do for me? So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. Once again, someone is showing David kindness. In chapter 22, Saul here shows no kindness. In chapter 22, Saul accuses the people of Benjamin to have been conspiratory against him by not telling him about the covenant being made between Jonathan and David, and that David was seeking to kill him. Remember Doeg? Doeg then tells Saul that I saw David with Ahimelech, and Ahimelech gave him the sword, gave him food, and inquired a view of him. And so Ahimelech throws Ahimelech under the bus. And because of that, Saul asked for Ahimelech to come. And in verse 17, and the king said to the guard who stood about him, turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David. And they knew that he fled and did not disclose it to me. But the servants of the king would not put out their hand to strike the priest of the Lord. Then, verse 18, the king said to Doeg, you turn and strike the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priest. And he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen ephod. And Nob, the city of the priest, he put to the sword both man and woman, child and infant, ox, donkey, sheep. He put to the sword. He showed no kindness by betraying David and his men. And then he betrayed Ahimelech. And because of that, Saul had Doeg kill him. Verse 20 through 23. Yet one of Ahimelech's sons escapes and tells all that occurred to his father to David. And in verse 23, David says, stay with me, be not afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You will be safe with me. Now, there's two men running from Saul. Yet David shows him kindness by saying, stay with me. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm running from the law, why would I hitch myself up to another man running from the law? The character of David, that's why. David says, you're going to be safe with me. if I look at the situation, David's been running from Saul. Saul has not been successful in catching him. So yes, I'm gonna hitch my coat card up to him. Yes, I'm with David. Then in chapter 23, verse 1 through 5, King Saul sought David's life daily. But shockingly enough, David spares the life of Saul. When Saul returned from the Philistines, he was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness in Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goats' rocks. And he came to the sheepholes by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave, and the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord has said, Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you." Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul arose and left the cave and went on his way. If anybody deserved to be attacked, it was Saul. David said, "No, I will not put my hand to the Lord's anointed." He gave him kindness. He extolled him grace, compassion, and love. He stood where Christ stands with us. We deserve to die. But Jesus said, "No, I give them grace. I give them mercy. I give them compassion. I give them kindness." You begin to see how and why David is called a man after God's own heart. His desire is that nobody perish. And in that regard, I will show kindness. Verse 15 of that chapter. "May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you see to it and plead my case and deliver me from your hand." Chapter 26, David again spares Saul. In this instance of kindness, David refuses to let Abishai kill Saul. Verse 8 of chapter 26, "Then said Abishai to David, God has given your enemy into your hand this day. Now please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear, and I will not strike twice." Now if there's somebody in your camp that you need to be in your camp, Abishai needs to be in my camp. Because this man is resolved. He said, "Look, just give the word. I'm going to pin this man's head to the ground with a spear." I don't know how he was going to do it. Take that spear like this, like that, or take it like this and do it like that. But whatever he was going to do, he was resolved to give Saul what he deserved. But David said, "No, we will not put our hands to the anointed one." And so yet again, Saul is saved by David's kindness and mercy. In the same chapter, verse 16, "This thing you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die." That's David talking to Abner. He's the king of he's the commander of the army. He's in there with Saul, and he's supposed to be protecting Saul, and he didn't protect Saul. And David says, "You deserve to die. You weren't doing your job." Isn't it ironic? On the one hand, one man deserves to die, and he gets grace. On the other hand, this man deserves to die because he didn't do his job. In 2 Samuel chapter 8, David conquers the land and there is peace on all sides. Verse 13 to 15 says, "And David made a name for himself when he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. Then he put his garrison in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons. And all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Israel. And David administered justice and equality to all his people." Then in 2 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to skip real forward. David has kindness to Mephibosheth. Verse 9, the Bible says, and David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David, and the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, I am your servant. And the king said, is there still someone in the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God toward him? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan. He is a cripple in his feet. The king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Emiel at Lodibar. Then David sent and brought him from the house of Machir to the son of Emiel at Lodibar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, Mephibosheth, he answered, behold, I am your servant. And David said, do not fear, I will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, what is your servant that you should regard him for a dead dog such as I? Then the king said to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belongs to Saul and all his house I will give to your master's grandson. And you and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him and shall bring him into produce that your master's grandson may have bread to eat. This was Mephibosheth. This individual was who? It was Jonathan's son. And if anybody had a probability of causing an insolence and taking the throne, it would be him. So, deserving to die, he does. Because it was customary when a king took over a monarchy that he destroyed the sons of the previous monarchy. Because if that's done, then no one can then take it from him. This individual should have died. But no. David remembered the covenant he made with Jonathan. And he remembered the covenant, and so he made Mephibosheth a son and told him, you will always, always eat at the king's table. So what does that mean for us? 5 points and then the sermon is yours. Jesus Christ stands in David's place. David was the king over physical Israel. Jesus is king over the spiritual Israel. In Acts chapter 2, verse 29 through 30, the Bible says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us even unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with us an oath unto him, that a fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Another covenant that he's talking about. The covenant made with David, we are a part of that. We get to sit at the Lord's table forever. He doesn't give us what we deserve. We deserve death. But he shows us kindness, compassion, and mercy. Mephibosheth was lame physically. We are lame spiritually. And we need the great physician to come in and heal us. Mephibosheth was worthy of death, was he not? Yes. He should have died. We talked about the custom of the time then was to destroy all the males of that lineage. But he didn't die. Ezra 18 verse 20, the soul sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Galatians 6 verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. We are worthy of death, but Jesus was sent by God. God gave us grace and kindness. It was offered to us. What if Mephibosheth had not refused David's offer? I don't want to eat at your king's house. There are so many today that refuses Jesus' offer of grace and mercy. David sought after Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, David is the one who put forth the effort to find and secure him. In like manner, God is the one who seeks after man first to make sure that the relationship is right. God moves first. David moved to him. it is such a stark contrast of David and Christ. You see why he is a man after God's own heart. He has sympathy for us all. He cares for us all. And finally, Mephibosheth received blessings. In John 14, the Bible says in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And once he found the lost, he gave way by grace to save the lost. And once the lost is saved, we have a mansion that's been prepared for us. He left to prepare a place for you and I to stay forever. We do not receive Abishar's spear, if you will. We don't receive that, although we should. We stand in a place where the spear should be, we should be pinned to the ground. But because of Jesus Christ, sent by God, that doesn't happen. In fact, it is so powerful that when you're done here on this earth, we go to heaven and there's peace and everlasting kindness that won't ever stop. There are so many people that refuse the call of Christ, refuse his offer of grace and mercy. If there's somebody here tonight that has refused that offer, you need to think that through better. The Bible says you must hear the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Mark 16, 16. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. You must confess the name of Jesus, Romans 10, verse 10. And you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, 1 Peter 3, 21, Acts 2, 38, and other scriptures. Baptism is the thing that removes your sin, not belief. Belief is a part of it, but is not the thing that removes your sin. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you have lived in such a way that has been unpleasing to the Heavenly Father, you need to come and change your ways and make it right with God once again so that you can walk in the light the way in which you should be. If anybody fits in either of those two categories tonight, please come down as we stand and sing a song of invitation.